Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 19 years and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding this show. Now, today's topic was requested by some of my listeners, and so I will be talking about stroke and stroke prevention. About 780,000 Americans suffer a stroke every year. It is actually the third most common cause of death after heart attack and cancer, and the leading cause of mental and physical impairment. Those who survive a stroke are often left with partial paralysis, speech impairment, drooping face, memory loss, or other consequences. One of every five people who survive a stroke needs institutional care within 3 months. So it should be a priority to do all we can to prevent a stroke. Now, a stroke is a sudden loss of nerve and/or brain function caused by vascular damage, meaning damage to the blood vessels. Now, most strokes, more than 4 out of 5, are ischemic, meaning a blood vessel is blocked, often by a plaque broken loose from an artery wall, or constricted by intense spasms that cuts off the flow of blood to an area of the brain. Now, the other type of stroke is caused through a hemorrhage in which there is a leakage from a blood vessel into the brain. It is less common, but more likely to be fatal. In fact, up to 52% of victims die within 30 days. So either an area of the brain is deprived of blood, which brings essential nutrients and oxygens, or has blood spewed into where it doesn't belong. So brain cells in the affected area can't function and begin to die. Now, within a minute, almost 2 million brain cells can die. In a 10-hour course, over 1 billion brain cells may be killed. Yet, if blood flow is slowed down, not completely cut off, less sensitive brain cells can actually hold their breath, so to speak, for about 3 hours and do not die of oxygen starvation. Now, a transient ischemic attack, also called a mini stroke, is technically not a stroke. It is a temporary interruption of blood flow that usually lasts only minutes. Signs and symptoms are actually similar to a full-blown stroke, but are much milder and are gone within 24 hours and don't cause permanent damage. Nevertheless, it signals that something is wrong and that there is an inclination to have an actual stroke. About 30 to 40% of people who have an ischemic stroke had a mini stroke or transient ischemic attack earlier. Sometimes it is really difficult to tell a transient ischemic attack from a mild stroke, causing small problems that are dismissed or hardly noticed. But the accumulation of effects can lead to dementia. Underlying causes of transient ischemic attack and stroke are identical, and as a result, the affected area of the brain is unable to function, leading to an inability to move one or more limbs on one side of the body, an inability to understand or formulate speech, or an inability to see one side of the visual field. So today I will talk about simple things you can do for your health to prevent a stroke from happening in the first place. But before we continue with today's topic, let's listen to some music from today's feature CD. And the CD I chose for today's show is from South America by a group of musicians by the name of Atahualpa. And the CD is titled Music from the Americas. I hope you will enjoy today's music and I'll be back shortly. Thank you. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is stroke and stroke prevention. And I briefly talked about the various forms of strokes, and now we will talk about things you can do to prevent stroke. About 80% of stroke risk is contributed to high blood pressure, although people with normal blood pressure have strokes too. Increased blood pressure does put more stress on blood vessels, and the brain's blood vessels are particularly vulnerable. Now, some studies indicate that lowering blood pressure can cut the risk of stroke by about 40%, at least in people under age 80. And we talked in great detail about high blood pressure in one of my previous segments, and potassium is one of the nutrients that lowers blood pressure and protects against stroke. Now, Americans consume too much refined salt in the form of sodium chloride, especially in processed and restaurant foods. So you can actually control your blood pressure by decreasing your sodium intake, meaning eating less salt, especially refined or commercial salt. Now, make sure especially avoid canned soups and processed meats and most processed foods in general, because they contain a lot of commercial salt and have usually a high sodium content, and you should increase your potassium eating more vegetables and also boost your magnesium, which means eating more seeds and nuts and green vegetables. So a good natural alternative is to eat more vegetables and fruits high in potassium and magnesium, as well as more nuts and seeds high in magnesium. Now, as far as salt, make sure you switch to unrefined salt and especially avoid commercial salt and use a high-quality sea salt or Celtic sea salt that contains a lot of trace minerals. And that is usually the first step a person should take dealing with high blood pressure. And we have a great assortment of sea salt at the Whole Foods pantry. Now, the usual treatment for high blood pressure restricts the patient to a low-salt, low-fat diet. And such a regimen may actually produce initially good results, but this has nothing to do with the reduction of salt and fats, because to achieve a low-salt, low-fat diet, it is necessary to avoid most processed foods. Now, if a diet without salt is followed for any length of time, the person will actually become weak, because salt is essential for digestion. And the right kind of fats, as you know already, are absolutely essential for good health. I do not restrict my hypertensive clients from salt. Rather, I suggest that they avoid all processed salt and use Celtic sea salt in liberal amounts. Celtic sea salt provides plentiful amounts of magnesium, which helps reduce high blood pressure. And in addition, mineral-rich bone broth used in soups and stews and sauces will actually help with hypertensive conditions. Hypertensive patients should avoid consuming too much water, which can actually increase the blood volume and lead to edema or water retention. And rather, liquid should be in the form of lacto-fermented beverages such as kombucha tea, homemade ginger ale, because lacto-fermented beverages hydrate the cells without upsetting the body's homeostasis. And these beverages are also a good source of easily assimilated minerals. A person can also eat more garlic, onions, and celery. And for example, 4 stalks, which equals about 1 cup chopped celery every day, can lower blood pressure by 13% and cholesterol levels by 7%. Now, celery contains a compound that relaxes the muscles that line the blood vessels. So if you have high blood pressure, eat 4 to 5 stalks of celery a day for a week and observe the effects. But make sure you don't overdo it, because celery contains sodium, which can raise blood pressure in those with salt-sensitive hypertension. Now, garlic, on the other hand, has been shown to lower blood pressure. Now, if a person does not like the taste of garlic, there are excellent supplements available. But there again, the most important thing is to limit refined foods and focus on whole organic foods. And this helps lower the intake of all kinds of added sugars and trans fatty acids, and also raises your intake of fiber and valuable nutrients. So eat a low sugar diet with sweets coming only from natural fruits, nuts, and grains. Also minimize your intake of caffeine. Long-term consumption of caffeine could have a direct effect on elevated blood pressure and may negatively affect your adrenal glands as well. Excessive alcohol consumption can induce high blood pressure as well, so a person should use a common sense approach first before opting for long-term prescription drugs. Now, drugs will simply control the numbers and not very reliably at that. High blood pressure can be caused by various factors, and it is important to find the cause rather than mask the symptoms. And now it's time to take another short break with music from today's feature CD. Now, I am featuring South American artists today, and the CD is titled Music from the Americas by a group named Atahualpa, and I'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Now, we have been talking about stroke and stroke prevention, and we talked about some of the precursors such as high blood pressure, and now we will address some other preventative measures. Now, higher cholesterol levels decrease the risk for hemorrhagic stroke, but if the total cholesterol or the LDL, which is also the so-called bad cholesterol, is elevated, or if the HDL, which is the so-called good cholesterol, is low, risk for ischemic stroke may increase. And just because high cholesterol levels appear before an ischemic stroke doesn't prove cholesterol causes stroke. Blood levels of cholesterol go up when there's a need for more cholesterol somewhere in the body. Now, in blood vessels, cholesterol is used in patches or plaque placed on damaged or weak areas, so cholesterol actually helps in the repair of weak areas. Cholesterol levels can increase when there's a likelihood of having a stroke as part of the body's effort to prevent it. So elevated cholesterol occurs more in minor strokes. Major strokes are more often seen in people with lower cholesterol. Now, research has not really proved that cholesterol increases or decreases risks. So statin drugs used to lower cholesterol block the absorption of CoQ10, which actually helps prevent a heart attack and stroke, and can also cause extreme muscle pain and weakness and raise some very serious concerns and side effects. And for one, the increased risk for hemorrhagic stroke. Also, a low-fat diet does nothing to protect a person from stroke and heart disease. On the contrary, evidence consistently links the eating of such foods to an equal or lower risk. Fat and protein basically protect blood vessels in the brain from damage, helping to prevent dementia after a stroke. And various studies showed that low-fat diets increase death rates from cancer, stroke, and all causes. So here again, nutrition plays a vital role in preventing stroke, and many people who have a stroke are already malnourished when they arrive at the hospital. Obviously, strengthening blood vessels will reduce the risk of breaking and causing hemorrhagic stroke. It will also reduce the need for plaques on blood vessel walls, decreasing ischemic stroke risk. If there's already plaque due to damaged or weak areas, making these patches strong will reduce the chance of chunks breaking off and blocking the blood vessels. So, how can nutrition help? For example, without enough vitamin C complex, and there again the emphasis is on complex, blood vessels become weak and easily injured and less flexible. A 2-year study found that among 21,000 people over age 40, those who ate the most fruits and vegetables had the highest blood levels of vitamin C and the lowest incidence of stroke. And in a review of studies involving more than 110 people, those with the highest intake of vitamin C suffered the fewest death from stroke. Now, middle-aged men with high blood pressure who had the lowest vitamin C levels had more than a 2-fold increased risk for stroke. Of the more than 5,000 people with the average age of 68 in a dietary study, those with the lowest amount of vitamin C in their diets were 34% more likely to have a stroke than those with the highest intake. Researchers note that the use of ascorbic acid supplements in clinical trial does not reduce stroke risk. So, in other words, synthetic vitamins do not do the job. Now, contrary to benefits of foods rich in vitamin C complex, separated synthetic ascorbic acid sometimes appears to actually increase risks. And so many researchers recommend eating fresh fruits and vegetables to raise vitamin C levels. Now, vitamin C in natural foods is basically in a balanced mixture of various agents that provide protection which doesn't exist in high-dose supplementation of single micronutrients. Other components or cofactors found naturally in fruit and vegetables, like sterols and flavonoids, play important roles in stroke prevention. Now, flavonoids can increase nitric oxide, which actually relaxes and opens up blood vessels and increases blood flow. Also inhibits LDL oxidation and excess plaque formation. Copper is essential to the formation and repair of elastic tissue, like blood vessels. It helps blood vessels remain flexible to prevent problems that would arise if they become hardened or stiffened. So vitamin C-rich foods contain tyrosinase, which is a copper-containing enzyme, and several studies link periodontitis, which causes bleeding and deterioration of the gums and roots of teeth, to stroke. And we all know that periodontitis involves a serious deficiency of vitamin C complex. Other studies found that people with signs of having an ischemic stroke who had a high amount of vitamin A in the blood suffered only minor strokes with little or no resulting disability. They recovered actually really quickly. And on the other hand, people with lower vitamin A levels had full-blown strokes. So it is very important to take cod liver oil for vitamin A and D, and the body needs vitamin A to make all the adrenal cortex hormones from cholesterol. And vitamin A intake should be balanced with vitamin D, which makes cod liver oil such a perfect food because it contains both in perfect balance. Now, low levels of vitamin D can predict fatal strokes, and getting more vitamin D may be a promising approach in the prevention of strokes. There was just recently a report, participants in a Harvard study who had vitamin D deficiencies were twice as likely to have heart attacks, strokes, or other cardiovascular events as those with normal vitamin D levels. So actually, just 15 to 20 minutes in the sun each day can give you what you need. And in the wintertime, especially for us living in a northern climate, it is very beneficial to opt for a whole food vitamin D supplement such as Cataplex D by Standard Process, which I use in my practice and is available at the Evergreen Cottage. So overall, you will be able to do far more for your heart health and keeping your blood vessels intact with taking cod liver oil on a regular basis than opting for prescription drugs or even aspirin. The effect of aspirin on stroke is controversial, and some studies found it might reduce strokes by around 25%, and other studies found it has little effect on ischemic stroke, with a slight trend toward fewer fatal strokes, and still other studies found no help in risk of fatal stroke. Aspirin causes leaky gut, ulcers, intestinal bleeding, kidney and liver problems, among other side effects. In fact, up to 60% of people who regularly take aspirin are aspirin resistant, which means they are more likely to have a heart attack or stroke. And now, let's take another short break with music, and I'll be back shortly with more information for you. welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Now, today's topic is stroke and stroke prevention. And I talked about the vital importance nutrition plays in preventing stroke. And several studies found that depression can predict a stroke. And nutritional deficiencies, which contribute to depression, also contribute to stroke. Now, deficiencies of vitamin B complex, C complex, calcium, magnesium, potassium, and other nutrients can lead to both. Low blood levels of vitamin B12 and folate can cause a twofold increase in risk of ischemic stroke. So getting plenty of folates from foods like leafy greens, asparagus, citrus fruits, whole grains, and dried beans reduces risk. Now, folate in food comes with an array of other supportive nutrients, including other B vitamins. Stroke victims are deficient in vitamin B2 and other B vitamins when they are tested for them. And it is just that high homocysteine is associated with stroke and heart disease. So the studies focus more on folate, B12, and B6. And these vitamins do help to lower homocysteine. But when people are given folic acid, B6 and B12 in separated high-potency synthetic form, there's absolutely no difference in risk of stroke or heart disease, even after 7 years. In fact, 12 clinical trials found no evidence that such imitation B vitamin supplements really reduce risk, despite lowering homocysteine levels. Again, this confirms that getting nutrients from foods or whole food supplements is our best option and best preventative. Let's talk a little bit about inflammation. Inflammation, as we know, is accused of altering blood vessel linings, causing plaques to develop. But inflammation is a result or answer to damage and really not the cause. It is now known that most of the plaque in blood vessels, previously thought to be caused by excess cholesterol and other blood fats, is actually formed as a body's response to inflammation. Now, plaques serve as patches over weak or injured areas. So the inflammation is trying to repair a potential breach, and yet it is blamed for causing the very thing it is trying to fix. Rather than trying to stop it, how about nutritionally supporting the process by giving the body everything it may need to enhance healing? And that's why real foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, unaltered fats, seeds, nuts, beans, and others are always shown to be helpers and not harmers, because they provide nutrients for the inflammation process, immune function, and tissue repair. And conversely, refined sugars, refined grains, trans fats, other altered or fake fats, fried foods, overly processed foods, and non-foods impair the function of the blood vessels and immune system, contributing to heart disease and stroke. If the body does not have all the materials and tools it needs to do a good job for repairing, of course, it will have a less than perfect result. Also, make sure to avoid low blood sugar. When blood sugar levels drop too low, the adrenal glands go into overdrive to produce hormones that bring the blood sugar back up. And this means avoiding sugar, white flour, and not skipping meals. And as I mentioned in earlier segments, the body cannot distinguish between eating a teaspoon of sugar or a slice of white bread. It has the same effect. And there's just no good substitute for 3 good meals a day at regular intervals, which contain adequate protein and plentiful amounts of good fats. Now, if you have hypoglycemic tendencies, make sure you eat more frequent but smaller meals to keep your blood sugar level even and to take stress off your body. It is of utmost importance to have good protein and fat with breakfast, which is the very first meal of the day. And if you start the day with carbohydrates, your body will crave carbohydrates for the rest of the day. And this is the most important step a person can do to balance body chemistry and restore the delicate sugar handling mechanism. Also, make sure you also avoid high blood sugar. Diabetes is a serious risk factor for capillary damage. A high-fat, low-carb diet is our best defense against diabetes. Now, Let's talk a little bit about whole grains. Now, eating whole grain foods lowers the risk of stroke, but refined flour products give absolutely no protection. Whole grain foods contain many nutrients and fiber that are low or missing in refined grain products. For example, a 12-year study of 75,000 women found that even when saturated fats and trans fatty acids were eaten, those who ate more whole grains had fewer strokes than those who ate refined flours and white rice. Nuts and seeds also help reduce the risk of stroke and heart disease. Fish, fish oils, flax seeds, walnuts, dark leafy vegetables, and other foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids have stroke preventive benefits. Oily fish like salmon, mackerel, or tuna are the best fish sources. Just make sure that they're all wild caught and not farm raised. Tuna oil helps blood vessels and brain function. And we have a wonderful whole food supplement by Standard Process available at the Evergreen Cottage. And it is called Tuna Omega 3 Oil and even comes in chewable form, which makes it very easy to take, especially for children. And we have free pamphlets available if you are interested. Tuna Omega 3 Oil helps maintain memory function and supports healthy emotional response and mood. It is especially helpful in children who suffer from ADHD. It also cleanses the heart and blood vessels and thereby supporting healthy circulation and helps to maintain regular heart rhythm. DHA and EPA help strengthen cellular membranes and thereby it will support healthy inflammatory response and immune system function. And both of them are contained in the tuna omega-3 oil. It has also shown to reduce the risk of coronary heart disease. And among the other important nutrients, expecting mothers need plenty of DHA in their diets to ensure proper brain development in their babies. So it is a major building block of the brain, especially before birth, and it is also vital for the proper development and function of the eyes. And we simply do not eat enough cold water fish to enjoy the health benefits that omega-3s provide. So taking this supplement every day is a safe and convenient way to ensure that you are consistently getting the DHA and EPA that you need to maintain optimal health. Now, native Alaskans who eat a huge amount of fish suffer almost no strokes. A study of people aged 65 and older found that those who ate baked or broiled fish high in omega-3s at least 3 times a week had a nearly 26% lower risk of having small brain lesions that can actually lead to stroke or dementia compared to people who don't eat fish regularly. And now let's take another short break with music. And the CD I feature today is by a South American group called Atahualpa. And when I come back, we will talk about other important factors that help prevent stroke. welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. We talked about the importance of nutrition for the prevention of stroke and cardiovascular disease. And there are a few other factors that are very important for the prevention of stroke. Smoking actually just about doubles the risk for stroke because it makes blood vessels stiffer and more susceptible to damage, as well as depleting the body of vitamin C complex, which is so important for blood vessel health. And even secondhand smoke can dramatically increase the risk of stroke. Now, heavy use of alcohol increases your chance of having a stroke, but moderate use, no more than a drink a day, may actually help protect against ischemic stroke. Now, it was also found that overweight people have a higher risk for stroke, which is linked to high insulin levels, even if it doesn't lead to diabetes. Now, high triglycerides, low LDL, and high blood pressure are signs of high insulin levels, which are very difficult to measure. And insulin resistance, which is actually an impaired insulin sensitivity by cells, is associated with stroke, even if blood sugar is within normal limits. Type 2 diabetes greatly increases the risk of stroke. A study of over 20,000 men found the risk of stroke was 30% higher in those who were overweight and twice as high in those who were obese as in normal weight men. High blood triglycerides, which can slow blood flow, are common in people who have a stroke, and there again, consuming excess calories, and in particular eating nutritionally empty calories such as refined sugars and flour products, especially high fructose corn syrup, are prime causes for triglycerides to rise, even skyrocket. And in most cases, high levels are a sign of a lifestyle in desperate need of overhaul. So losing weight can mean better blood sugar processing and reduction in blood pressure. And I will dedicate one of the upcoming segments to natural and healthy weight loss options, so stay tuned. Of course, a sedentary lifestyle increases your chance for stroke. Now, physical activity, achieving even a moderate amount of aerobic fitness, can reduce the risk dramatically. People with the highest level of fitness are least likely to suffer a stroke compared to those with the lowest, in fact, 40 to 40% less likely. A large study found that those who were active for at least 4 hours a week had a 54% lower risk of ischemic stroke than those who were sedentary. Fitness has a protective effect regardless of the presence or absence of other stroke risk factors, so make sure you engage in moderate outdoor exercise. Now, before we wrap up today's topic, I would like to mention one whole food supplement in particular that can greatly decrease the risk of stroke and really prevent stroke. And this supplement is called Saruda Plus by Standard Process. And it is made from the green buckwheat plant. And buckwheat is an anti-scurvy staple food that goes back to ancient Mesopotamia. It has been largely eliminated from the Western diet, and with the anti-capillary fragility factors from the vitamin C complex known as vitamin P factors from buckwheat. And this product is excellent for the person with high blood pressure along with vascular fragility, because those two problems can often lead to a stroke. And so this would be the supplement of choice for stroke prevention. And it is available at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center. And at this time, I would also like to offer my services to you. If you would like to improve your health, or if your lifestyle is in desperate need of overhaul, please contact me by phone at 365-2288 or visit my website at www.elywellness.com. And I offer a variety of services ranging from nutritional health assessments to massage therapy, facials, and European body treatments. And I will be more than happy to help you achieve your wellness goals. Now, before we wrap up today's show, let's take another short break with music, and when I come back, I will highlight the food of the week. Thank you. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Now we are about ready to wrap up this show. And before we do, I would like to highlight the food of the week. And since we were talking about stroke prevention and the importance of vitamin C complex from foods, I chose strawberries as the food of the week. And now, if summer had a flavor, it would be strawberry. And these red gems ripen before other fruits and have a really high vitamin C complex content. Unfortunately so, commercial strawberries rank among the top 10 pesticide-ridden fruits and vegetables, so always choose organic, and you will find a great supply of organic strawberries at the Whole Foods pantry at Evergreen Cottage. Now, strawberries are loaded with nutrients, especially antioxidants. In fact, they get their vivid red color from potent antioxidants that help reduce inflammation and may also curb the growth of cancer cells. Other antioxidants in strawberries are effective cancer fighters, particularly against colon and cervical cancers. But the major source of antioxidant power in strawberries is vitamin C, and ounce for ounce, strawberries have more than oranges. So eating vitamin C-rich foods keeps your brain functioning smoothly and helps your body rebuild blood vessels, tendons, ligaments, and bones. Along with potassium, vitamin C can help keep your blood pressure low. So look for organic strawberries that are red all the way to the tip, which is a sign that they are fully ripe because strawberries don't ripen after picking. Also beware of mold because it spreads quickly from berry to berry. So if you're not using them immediately, look through the container and pick out any spoiled or mushy specimens. And always plan to use the berries within a day or two. And without their stems, strawberries get waterlogged, so wash them before stemming. And if you have extra, make them last by freezing them. And you can do that by washing the whole berry and remove the leafy portion on top, and you pat them dry. And then you spread these berries out on a sheet pan and freeze them until they're solid. And then you can transfer them to a sealable freezer bag. I also want to mention one very interesting tidbit about strawberries. Did you know that the strawberry is technically not a fruit at all, at least not the red part? And what we think of as the berry is actually the strawberry's fleshy receptacle. And the 200 or so tiny golden seeds that dot the outside of each strawberry are the actual fruits called achenes. Although these seeds only count for 1% of a strawberry's weight, they are responsible for 14% of its antioxidant power. I came across a very nice recipe some time ago, and I would like to share this great summer salad recipe, which calls for strawberries. It is a strawberry, fennel, and orange salad, which is very refreshing and delicious. And the crunchy anise-flavored fennel offers a nice contrast to the soft, fragrant berries and tangy oranges. To serve 4 people, you will need 2 oranges, 8 ounces of strawberries, which usually translate into about 16 strawberries, and you slice or quarter them and you set them aside. And you will also need 1 fennel bulb that you slice very thinly lengthwise. And you can save some of the fronds, which are the green soft leaves, for garnish. And as far as the oranges, you actually zest 1 orange and reserve the zest. And then you cut the peel and pith away from both oranges. And you use a paring knife to cut out the segments, and you let them fall into a bowl along with the juice. And then you add the sliced strawberries, the sliced fennel, the orange zest, and fennel fronds to the bowl of orange segments, and you toss everything together very gently. And then you stir in about 1.5 teaspoons of fresh lemon juice and 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil. And you can season it with salt and pepper. And then you can add lettuce, and you toss it all together and you serve it. And you can also get more creative and add blueberries as well as sliced almonds. And I want to mention that you can find all these wonderful organic ingredients for this recipe at the Whole Foods pantry at the Evergreen Cottage. I hope this will inspire you to include healthy foods in your diet. Thank you so much for listening, and I invite you to join me again next Wednesday, right here on WELY, for another edition of the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Also, please make sure to come visit the Whole Foods Pantry at the Evergreen Cottage on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Chapman Street to get your supply of organic fruits and vegetables, natural foods, healthy snacks, and so much more. Thanks again, and take good care until next time.